This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
This week on Meat and Three, we continue our series on global food trade. We've covered sugar and spice. Next up, bites.
Iran has been subjected to the far and away the most severe, stringent, painful sanctions regime that has been inflicted on a country in peacetime ever.
Servers would come around with little carts or trays carrying these things, and they would cry out what they were providing. So you get, hog else you my. So my young son, when he was 3 or 4 years old, referred to dim sum places as screaming places.
Tune in to Meat and Three, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. It's February 16th, Tuesday, and we're recording remotely. At the end of the year in December, we announced a very special beer collaboration. You know, 2020 was, but the only thing you could do was do beer projects that were collaborations to benefit a variety of causes like the Black is Beautiful or Altogether IPA. And our good friends from the Happy Hour guys came up with a really great project, Curtain Up Beer Project, to benefit the Actors Fund. So we're going to introduce our guests. We got two segments with a couple different brewers on each. So let's go through first with Dave.
Hey, it's Dave Lopez from Gun Hill Brewing Company.
And Dave's Gun Hill's behind this whole project, set up the recipe and everything. Mark?
Hey, Mark Aldrich. I'm here with the Happy Hour guys.
Great. And Jimmy Ludwig.
Hey, it's Jimmy Ludwig. I am also here with the Happy Hour guys.
And John, our brewer.
Hey, this is John Zerovitz from Union Craft Brewing.
Great. John, what's your role there?
I am the co-founder and creative director.
Great. So we're going to cut to the chase. We know a little bit about Curtain Up Beer Project. Why did you guys get involved in it? What interested you about it? Did you have any connection with Jimmy or Mark?
Yeah, so we've known Jimmy and the Happy Hour guys for years. When we were in our original location, you know, I don't know how many years ago that was, maybe 6 years or so ago, we worked with them to do a little promo video, and just kind of stayed friendly over the years. He came back, when we moved into our new space to see how we were doing. And, when he approached us about Curtain Up, I think he knew that it was just a natural fit for us. We are always looking to do community-based projects and help out wherever we can. And this was the first sort of beer fundraiser that we've done for 2021. And we do a number of these types of projects every year. And the arts is just such an important thing for Union and for Baltimore. So it's one of the areas of fundraising that we often engage in. And we just think it's really important. It's something that, you know, gives our city and many other cities their character. And, you know, the art scene has just been decimated by COVID. So, it was a no-brainer for us to help out.
No, that's great. And let's go to Jimmy. So Jimmy Ludwig, just tell us about, you know, the years you guys have done the Happy Hour video, and it's translated to this Curtain Up Beer Project. Tell us what it's like when you first went down to Baltimore, meeting, you know, Union Craft Brewing. What's the scene like in Baltimore?
Oh, the scene in Baltimore is amazing. So the Happy Hour guys, Mark and I started it when we were doing a show in Washington, D.C., right down the road from Baltimore. We started talking about it at that point in 2003, and then 2006 we shot a pilot, and then we sort of started producing, and that was almost 400 video episodes ago. And wherever we go, we shoot episodes. And I was actually doing a long-running project at Baltimore Center Stage, which, if y'all don't know about it, it is an amazing theater there in Baltimore, and it's one of just sort of the lifeblood members of the Baltimore arts community. And I was working there for months and I had heard about Union and I went to drink some of their beer and was blown away. And then I met them and was like blown away again because John and the whole crew there is just such a great group of people. And they're so involved and they are involved with music and they have a bluegrass festival at the brewery. And, you know, they have moved into a new space and they've just continued to grow and grow. So when COVID hit and kind of decimated, as John put it, our industry, the theater industry, both Mark and I, Happy Hour Guys, are Broadway actors. We have not worked since March. We are facing some big, nasty circumstances because of that fact. We're getting by, but it's rough. And putting this project together was, how can we help all of our compatriots in the industry, and not just in theater, but in all of live performance, that are hurting just as bad, if not worse than us? I mean, many people working are not working and hurting even worse than we are. So it was serendipitous to meet John down at Union in Baltimore. And it's really great. John, it's great to hear your voice. It's been a minute. I'm just so happy you're here. Thanks for coming, man. It's really cool.
Of course, man. Good to hear your voice too.
So, John, just give us a snapshot of Union Craft Brewing, like some of the beers that you're making, what's popular, was popular in your tap room, you know, what are you known for, and tell us more about making the Curtain Up beer recipe.
Sure. So we established the brewery 9 years ago, coming up on our 9th anniversary, and our approach to craft beer 9 years ago is slightly different than it is today, though we still stay really true to our original mission, which was to make sessionable and approachable beers across a variety of styles. And at the time, 9 years ago, it was really about getting new initiates to craft beer, to pull people away from macro and get them to appreciate a locally crafted, high-quality beer like we make. So we created a series of sort of flagship beers. Duckpin Pale Ale is a hoppy kind of a mashup of a old school East Coast Pale Ale and a little bit of West Coast hoppiness with some assertive bitterness. That is our bread and butter. That's our biggest brand.
It's such a good beer.
If your listeners don't know what Duckpin is, it's a form of bowling with small pins and small balls that was allegedly invented here in Baltimore, and it still exists, although harder and harder to find Duckpin lanes these days.
I did know what Duckpin was, just because I grew up with candlepin bowling. But
yeah, candlepin. Yeah.
When you're talking art and Baltimore, I don't want to be cliched, but I don't know Baltimore. I just keep thinking John Waters films.
Yeah. So John Waters, you know, is a huge cultural icon here. And part of what we do is celebrate the quirkier aspects of Baltimore culture. So our flagship IPA is called Divine, named in tribute to the drag queen in John Waters films. And we're always just trying to celebrate, you know, Baltimore culture. In addition to IPA, Pale Ale, we do a bunch of kettle sours. We have one of the original sort of craft gozas called Old Pro. We actually just launched a mixed fermentation barrel series. We set up a new space in the brewery for that. And we can't wait to get our tap room back open. And I think we're brewing at the highest level we ever have. And frankly, I think the slowdown kind of allowed us to refocus on just quality brewing techniques. And our beers are better than ever. So we just can't wait to get open again.
So tell us what you did. Did you retool your systems or, you know, your processes, or you just slowed down, or you reexamined, you know, your recipes?
Yeah, I think it was just the slowdown in volume, quite honestly. Like we weren't churning beer and tanks were starting to empty. And when you're not selling any draft beer, you know, you start to see all these holes in your production schedule free up. And so our brewers really kind of took stock of all their processes and all of our quality control, and really take a hard look at recipes that hadn't changed in years and how we could improve them. And so I think it just gave us a chance to refocus on quality brewing technique. And I think that's definitely moved the needle for us as far as our beer quality goes.
So, and tell us about the Curtain Up beer that you made. What is it? You know, how was it received? Was it a one batch, you know?
Yeah. So, we took the recipe, that was generously donated from Gun Hill, and tweaked it just a little bit, to fall into more what people expect from us. We aren't known for sort of modern hazy IPA. Although in the last couple of years, we've definitely made a few really good ones. And so we made this one in the hazy style and added some different hops to it. But we really got a sort of sweet, tropical, floral IPA, medium bodied. It's got a kind of sour candy and orange juice profile to it. A little bit of grapefruit, melon in there. But it's just a really easy drinking, nice, slightly lighter style hazy IPA. And it was very well received. You know, I would say equally in part to the calls than to the actual flavor of the beer, but it really did get a lot of support here in Baltimore, especially from the performing arts community. It was great to see.
And then how are you distributing? Tell me how you give out the, what percentage of this beer are you giving to, you know, the Actors Fund or to a local actors group?
Yeah, so we are, we're going to split our donation between Baltimore Center Stage, which we have a longstanding relationship with, and the Actors Fund. You know, I'm not exactly sure what the percentage is to each. I think we're donating a little bit more heavily to the Actors Fund, but we wanted to make sure that we got a local theater involved, and we really have a great relationship with Center Stage.
Well, that's great. Let me go to Mark. So, Mark, have you been down to Baltimore? Have you been to Union Craft Brewing?
I am sad to say I have not. Although I have played Baltimore when I was on tour, and would have played Baltimore again last year, except for the COVID closing of everything. So I'm excited. My family's down in the DC Baltimore area, and I have a lot of friends down there. That's where I started my career. So I've had many people on the lookout for this version of Curtain Up, and I think I have some waiting for me down there at my family's house.
Nice.
So Mark, how is that working for you guys? So how many breweries have made the beer? And, you know, how are you guys getting the word out? We talked about some Instagrammers that post about it. Mm-hmm.
Well, as of today, we added another brewery today. So we're at 56 total breweries so far that will be participating. Jimmy, Dave, how many do we think we're at that have already brewed? Is it around a dozen?
I think that's about right. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's about
that we have records for.
Yeah. And so far, our outreach basically consists of us reaching out. So it's been pretty word of mouth and talking to our friends in the craft beer community. And so far the response has been really, really positive. And, we feel like we're picking up a lot of momentum here now that we're sort of clear of the holidays. And a lot of the election cycle is quieted down. People have a chance to catch their breath. It seems like we're picking up steam, which is great because the need in the arts community and the entertainment community is going to hit. Well, it's already at the critical stage, and it's just going to get more immediate from here on out.
So, Jimmy or Mark, the latest stimulus proposal, there's some kind of stages, an entertainment venue components. Are most actors, you know, are they living off of some kind of unemployment or a union pension, or, you know, how are working actors that you guys know making it right now?
It's a There are a lot of different answers to that question, actually. The Save Our Stages legislation is great, but it for the most part addresses the cultural institutions, and we need them to be, you know, healthy and still in business when things start to come back. So that's vital. But what it doesn't do is address the workers on a one-on-one basis. So that we're hoping that this will help to fill that void a little bit. As far as what actors are doing to survive, yes, unemployment, most definitely. But actors are recreating themselves around us all the time. Lots of them have opened Etsy shops. They're using, you know, I know stagehands that are using their craft skills to build things and sell them online. And sadly, I also, and I know Jimmy does too, we know a lot of actors who have moved away from New York specifically, but also they've moved away from theater and from performance. And and some of them are not going to come back. So we're facing, I read a good quote that we're facing a cultural Great Depression, because we've never been through anything like this before. So we know everyone's hurting, and we're just trying to step in and do a little bit that we can to help and call some attention to it, because it's still not a great public awareness of just how dire it is for people in the entertainment industry.
I think you're right that you mentioned New York City, because so much of New York City, even like every restaurant and hospitality industry, has so many theater people and dancers that work there. Jimmy, you go for it.
Sorry. Yeah. One of the things that's not being talked about enough right now, just in general, you know, the Save Our Stages Act is great. It's really, really wonderful, but it takes care of venues, not people. And eventually venues will take care of people, because people will get employed by those venues. But right now, for instance, I'll just say it, I'm going to lose my health insurance in a couple months, because our health insurance is dependent on whether or not we work. We get our health insurance through our union, and it's about how many weeks did you work in the last year? And if you've worked enough weeks, then you qualify. Well, no one has worked in the last year. So basically, no one is going to qualify, or very, very few people are going to qualify. So one of the things that the stimulus bill that's on Capitol Hill right now is espousing is a COBRA subsidy for those of us that are going to have to pay through the nose to keep our health insurance going soon. And I'm sure many of your listeners and people who have dealt with COBRA before, I mean, it's just, God, it's like paying a whole other rent or buying a house in the Hamptons, or I don't know what, but there's a lot of our friends and family and all those people are going to be digging real deep into savings or going into serious debt in the coming months. Because of that. And I had a conversation with another actor a couple of days ago who knows a lot about a lot of things. And he said, I hate to say it, but I think 2021 for our community is going to be worse than 2020. Because during 2020, we were still sort of cruising on all the work and all the savings we had from 2019. Well, all that's gone. We're out. So 2021 is, we are not back to work yet. And we're out of, you know, the bag's empty. So this project is about helping to fill that bag in as any way we can.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to go to Dave, because we're going to have a whole other segment with another brewer as well. Dave, just give a little shout out to some of the breweries that have been making the project through you guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a little disappointed in a lot of my guys here in the city that haven't jumped on the bandwagon yet, but We've got some good friends that didn't even ask, when we asked them to do it, it wasn't even a, let me see if we can fit it. It was, yeah, no problem. We'll just tell you when we're brewing it. So we were just out, Jimmy, Mark, and I were just out there this weekend, but our friends over at Destination Unknown in Long Island were great.
Dubco,
Big Alice,
yeah.
Kyle at Big Alice. They were one of the first to get on board. Icarus down in New Jersey, also one of the first to get on board. So we've had some friends of ours from all over that have been very, very receptive to doing it.
That's great. We're going to keep talking with you guys. I want to just get a little more John from Union Craft Brewing, because he's going to leave at the end of this segment. So John, yeah, you know, a little more of that backstory. how are your customers or your community responding to this project?
Yeah, people are very enthusiastic about supporting these types of projects. It seems like our community is really there for each other. We have a huge art scene in Baltimore, we heard from them immediately as soon as we signed on to do this. So, you know, we had immediately had some good feedback. I think the batch of beer, you know, it was only a single batch. I think it's pretty much sold out. I'm drinking my last can right now.
oh man.
And,
John, we're still waiting to have some of that sent up to us in New York, you know.
I thought we sent you a box. I was almost.
We haven't gotten it yet.
All right. Well, the mail's a little wonky, but I'm pretty sure we sent it.
It went to me instead, and I already drank it, Dave. I wish. But last thing, John, a plug for you guys. So Duck Pin Pale Ale, that's what everybody knows you by. I'm down in Baltimore. I want you to paint the color for me. Where am I going to get a Duck Pin Pale Ale, and what am I going to drink it with? And, you know, I just got out of work, so how many am I going to drink comfortably and is that what Duck Pin's about? It can have a couple of those.
Yeah, man. So you're gonna get off work and you're gonna go to the Crab House and you're gonna order yourself a dozen crabs and and you're gonna start with a Duck Pin, and after a dozen crabs, you'll probably have about half a dozen Duck Pins in you, and you'll be all set. You'll be right in the mood to enjoy the city. But yeah, it's a 5.5% beer, easy drinking for sure. And, you know, you can find it pretty much anywhere here in Baltimore.
I think you just, I'm ready to go. What's great about these COVID shows is I'm just making a list of all the places I want to go. So Jimmy, yeah. You're going to take me down to Baltimore next year.
You bet I will.
What are some highlights we should check out besides the Crab House and Union Craft Brewing?
Sorry, Jimmy, go ahead.
No, go ahead, John. It's your city.
There's so many cool things. You got to go down to Fells Point and do some bar hopping. You got to visit Max's Tap House.
Oh yeah.
You know, best selection of beer in the city. You got to go to the American Visionary Arts Museum and see some really weird outsider art. It's really an amazing place. Maybe you venture over to Columbia, Maryland and hit Meriwether Post Pavilion for a show. There's so many cool things to do in the area.
Yeah, it's just a great town, and they love their arts there, and they love their arts community. I mean, Baltimore Center Stage, like I said, is just, you know, people adore it. The Touring House where Marcus played more than once, where my wife was there most recently a couple of years ago. What is it, John? Is it not Roundhouse? Roundhouse is down in Bethesda. What's the one that's right downtown? I have friends that work there all the time. I'm trying to remember, but it's
another. Are you thinking of Everyman?
Everyman.
Yeah, Everyman Theater Company. Yeah, just great, great theater, great food, and fantastic beer. And John, you know, I need a full tour of the new space because I breezed by it, but I haven't seen the whole thing. So I'm going to hold you to that.
Anytime, buddy. Anytime.
You betcha.
And then, John, what's the COVID situation like there for you guys? Are you going to be able to have open the tap room, or what's it like there?
So we're still under restrictions right now, and we actually just decided to stay closed until we can really fully open and give people the experience that we want to give them. So some breweries are open at like 25% capacity indoors, and they can be open outdoors too, but it's freezing here, so nobody's going outside right now. Our plan is to reopen outside second week of March and hope that the indoor restrictions are lifted within a month or so and start getting back to it. We've made some changes at the brewery, and we're really excited to get people back in. And, you know, this was actually the first week that we saw any keg sales. So we're thrilled that we filled half a truck with kegs for the first time in almost a year. Feels really good. So we're staying optimistic, and I'm booking concerts for the fall. So, you know, being cautiously optimistic right now, I'd say.
Wow. That's great, John. So John from Union Craft Brewing, Thank you for joining us. We're going to take a short break. Be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's, the pizza restaurant, is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. And of course, there's the 2 Michelin-starred Blanca tucked away in the garden for truly daring diners. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City and now in Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. Support us at heritageradionetwork.org. Become a member. So we're in that very special time of year when we talk about the important things in our lives, and one of them is the importance of arts. And our good friends from the Happy Hour guys and Gun Hill Brewing in the Bronx created the Curtain Up Beer Project to benefit actors. We were talking a little earlier with Union Craft Brewing out of Baltimore, and with Jimmy and Mark from the Happy Hour guys and Dave from Gun Hill Brewing. We just had another guest join us who's part of the project. He's based in upstate New York. So, Chris, please introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. Chris March, and we own Slick Fin Brewing Company in Fort Edward, New York.
Great. So we've been talking a little bit about the backstory on the Curtain Up Beer and the needs for actors and performers at these times. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your brewery a little bit. Where is it and how you got involved in the project? Some of the beers that you're making that I should come up and travel to taste.
Yeah. So I started brewing back in 2012. I learned from a friend of mine while I was in Afghanistan. And then upon retiring from the Marine Corps, I took it to the next level, and we opened our brewery in 2019, in March of 2019. So we're coming up on our 2-year anniversary. And, you know, we got involved when I met Mark. He was up with his wife, and we talked about doing Curtain Up that, you know, obviously the guys at Gun Hill and that project had already kind of started. And I jumped in with 2 feet, and that's how we got started. And there's a little bit of backstory there in my family and Broadway specifically. So I thought that this might be, you know, just a great idea all around for to help support actors and musicians and whoever else that are struggling during these times. So that's how we got started.
So, Chris, you're a veteran. What's the backstory on Broadway or acting?
So it's kind of a long story.
Since you mentioned it.
Yeah. My mom spent some time on Broadway. She was in a number of plays. I guess most notably Music Man, Donnybrook, Bye Bye Birdie, Sound of Music. There might be a couple others that she had mentioned to me. I actually have a list of information on another app here that she gave to me the other day, so I could talk, you know, knowledgeably upon her legacy on Broadway. But so she spent time with some very, you know, interesting and, you know, actors and performers at the time. And she produced a Broadway show back in 1996 called Swinging on a Star. There's just a lot of history in our family, you know, via Broadway. So I thought that this would be a great opportunity to, you know, have my own little piece of history.
So then you know what actors go through and what Broadway's about. How do you see people struggling? What are actors up against right now with COVID?
Yeah, up here it's more music than it is acting. Although we do have like the we do have a couple playhouses and the Adirondack Theater Festival that we do donate to. But I have a lot of friends that are musicians up here, and they're all definitely having, you know, a tough time with everything going on right now. I feel like they're being very like, what's the word I'm looking for? Creative, with, you know, with generating income. So they're able to, I guess, perform other things and do other things with their lives at the moment, other than just music and whatnot. But, you know, obviously the goal is to get them back performing in front of people again.
Yeah. And tell me where you are. You're in Fort Edwards, New York. Where is that?
Fort Edward, New York. Yep. So it's like in between Saratoga Springs and Lake George. It's just off the highway, a couple miles. It really was like the center of the universe for upstate New York back in the, well, I guess, post-Civil War, early French Indian War, and that time frame. It's almost a suburb, if you could, if you want to call it, of Glens Falls. So Glens Falls is a little city, you know, so to speak. But we're kind of off the beaten path from Glens Falls.
There's a lot of history there. And tell us about the beers there that you guys usually make. Sounds like a great place to visit. Are you near like Common Roots as well?
Common Roots is in South Glens Falls, and we are on the other side of the river in Fort Edward. Yeah, but Common Roots isn't very far away.
Great. So just tell me about your beers. What I love about these projects is getting to meet all the different breweries that are participating. It's great to learn about you. So what are a couple of beers that you have now that are your popular beers?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll just put in perspective, we're a one barrel brewery, we're tiny. And I knew I was going to be, you know, super busy with the brewing schedule. And we are very busy still, but we've put out, I think, 140 some odd different beers since we opened just under 2 years ago. And I think we're mostly known for the sours and the Imperial Stouts and the IPAs. So it's like, you know, we do a little bit of everything. And I really like playing with different yeast profiles and different water profiles. So that's what I'm passionate about. And the beer is received very well by everybody that comes in. I think maybe I've only had one person come in and say they didn't like something on the menu, but, you know, it doesn't happen very often. So I think we're doing something right.
So you guys are upstate. Does that mean you have your tap room open?
Tap room is open. Yep, it is.
Yeah. Well, that sounds exciting. That to me is like old school craft beer. One barrel system. Some of my favorite breweries started like that, like Barrier and Bridge and Tunnel in Metro New York City.
Yep.
What made you take the jump? Like when you were in the Marines, were you home brewing? You know, what made you take the jump to doing this professionally?
Yeah, so I was homebrewing at the time, 2012, and then I retired in 2016. I took a job in Boston with a robotics company, and I just found myself traveling a ton still. And my daughter was like 2.5 at the time, and I would come home, and you know, like when your kids don't miss you, that's when you know something is wrong. So I quit that job and I told my wife, I was like, you know, Heather, I think we need to do something else. You know, I don't want to keep perpetuating this, this, you know, habit of being away all the time on business. So I was still brewing on the weekends, you know, kind of few and far between while I was working in Boston, but I quit and I walked away and I haven't looked back since. So we went from, you know, 10 gallons in the garage to one barrel in the brewery. And now we're growing to a 3.5 barrel, and that should sustain us for at least another couple of years.
And how did you end up there in Fort Edward?
So I grew up in Connecticut. My wife grew up in Fort Ann, New York, which is just, you know, probably 8 or 9 miles away from Fort Edward. We left San Diego in 2016 and, you know, we had our daughter and she said, well, I've been following you around for, you know, 18 years or whatever it's been. Let's go back to upstate New York and raise our daughter. And so that's what we did. We moved back up from San Diego.
Well, that's great. So now I'm going to go to, this is Mark and Jimmy. This is really cool. What I love about this project is the way that you've kind of pieced together these different breweries that you know with your own connections. Who wants to talk about Slick Finn, either Mark or Jimmy?
Mark, you should talk now because you brought you brought Chris to us.
Well, and I was really happy that Chris was able to join us today because it's one of I have many favorite stories that have come out of this project. but this is one of my all-time favorites, because when I met Chris, we were sort of on vacation, getting out, not vacation, but I guess it's vacation, getting away from the city for a couple of days, as many people have needed to do over the last year. And we sort of found ourselves in upstate in an area we'd never been before. And one of the things that, that Happy Hour guys do when they're on the road is they look for nearby breweries. and Slickfin was getting just raves from everybody online. And so of course I made a beeline there. And Chris and I chatted and we hit it off, and I loved the beer and I loved the whole vibe of his brewery. And I knew he was a veteran. I knew he was a Marine. So it was not long after that that we started reaching out to people, and I thought I would reach out to him because I liked his beer so much and I liked him so much. And I did not know at the time of his family's like deep, deep roots in the Broadway community and history. And I think to put things in perspective, all of those credits that he read off for his mother were the original cast. So she was in the golden age of Broadway. She was in the middle of it. And when I drove up again to try Chris's version of Curtain Up, which I loved, and he put us on a FaceTime call with his mom, because my wife and I are both actors as well. And I think, Chris, I think it was over 40 minutes, right?
That we were on. Yeah, it was almost an hour.
Yeah. And we just kept talking, and she had incredible stories, and she was showing us pictures of her with all of the stars back in the day. You know, pictures of Dick Van Dyke on the wall, and there's a great story that Chris should tell you about Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio. But I've just loved this project because it has done that. It's reminded people that the arts are important to all of us, even when you don't see it on the surface, and that we have discovered new breweries and new friends, and the response, and I agree with Dave that, you know, I'd like to see a few more of our friends down here in the city jump in, but the friends that have jumped in with both feet, like Chris said, and that memory of sitting in his brew house on the phone, talking to his mother about the golden age of Broadway, and it all came about because of craft beer, is just one of my favorite things ever.
Well, that's beautiful. And then Chris, back to you. So you put yourself out as a veteran. How do people respond to that? Does that help your marketing, or is there a community that responds to that?
You know, when I started this, granted, Slickfin is like a kind of an internal term in the bomb squad type field in the Marine Corps, but I didn't really want to like push the fact that I was a veteran to the limit. You know, and now I'm kind of getting pushback from everybody saying, yeah, you've got to like tell everybody you're a veteran and people love it. And, you know, and they do, people do love it. I don't really like capitalizing off of it. That's just kind of like a personal thing. But I feel that people are very receptive to it, and they do like hearing my story. And they do like, you know, getting to chat with me, you know, if I pop my head out of the brewery for a couple minutes and I see somebody that I know, you know, we can, you know, obviously share a story. People really do appreciate that intimacy of our brewery and of our story. So yeah, it's well recepted.
Well, that's great.
Jimmy,
go for it.
It's Mark. I just want to, Chris has some really great news that actually just came about with his brewery that he might want to share.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So after about a year, you know, our brewery is tiny. It's a one barrel. We have a very old building. It's from the late 1850s. And I've been trying for a year to purchase that building and the building to the left of me, if you're looking at the brewery. And then there's a house in the back right on the Hudson too. So we're trying to create this really beautiful outdoor space right on the Hudson. And we've finally been able to do that. We closed on the properties this past Friday, and we're going to start getting the construction crews in there, hopefully, you know, in the springtime, and get that space set for late spring, early summer.
Well, Chris, that's great news. I'm going to ask you a favor. You guys go to @slickfin _ brewery, I think. Why don't you post a picture of the yard on the river?
Yeah.
Because I was trying to figure out something about you guys, and that would draw me especially with summer coming. I'm going to jump to Dave for a second. Dave, talking about getting more brewers involved, especially in New York City. I mean, this winter sucked, right? I mean, indoors were shut down.
Yep.
I can't imagine asking anyone, any brewery in New York, to do anything this winter.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, and this is something that Mark, Jimmy, and I have talked about during the entire project, and particularly in the very beginning when the response was a little tepid at best, you know, come from a brewery's perspective, and this is every time I talk to somebody about the project, I always try and remind people of this, is that when we created this recipe, we wanted this to be a recipe where it wasn't going to be prohibitively expensive to brew this beer. And so breweries could still brew this beer, charge their normal margin for it, and then tack on a little bit to donate. Like, we're not asking anybody to remove themselves from the equation. We want people to still, we want all of the breweries, because for that very reason, like you just said, because it's been a tough winter, to still be able to make their own profit on this. And that's the whole idea behind this project, is to keep what you need and give what you can. And so, like, for us, for example, we're just charging our regular margin for the beer, and then we tacked on a few dollars to a 4-pack or to a case of the beer or to a keg of it. And that spread between our regular price point and what we're charging now is what we're using as the donation. And, you know, there's even if the dollar amount is not massive, there is a unquantifiable value associated with just talking about, you know, the fact that we're doing a show here and talking about the situation that this group, this industry is facing. That's publicity that these guys, you know, that there's real money associated with that. So even if it's not hard dollars, we're getting this into the attention, into other people's minds, and getting it in front of them so that they then maybe realize it in another way of their daily lives. So it doesn't just have to be directly from this project and from the beer that we're brewing. And I think that's something that's lost on a lot of the guys here in New York City. And I think it's also something that they're not paying attention to, because we as an industry are so dependent now, or becoming more dependent on tourism that we're getting from, whether it's concerts or Broadway or you name it. And so, or sporting events, live entertainment. And the fact that all of that has been shut down, that's also curbed beer tourism. So this is something that impacts us. It's sort of a circular thing. So even though it's been tough for us, it's tough for other people. And this is a way that we help each other help ourselves.
Wow. And what Jimmy said, so when I buy the beer, it's clearly marked that there's a donation. But the idea of what we're talking about is it could raise consciousness about government stimulus might be neglecting some of the actors. I mean, it's not a big group. Like, we think the arts is so important in New York City, but I would think in a lot of other parts of the country, you know, it's probably more pronounced here, isn't it, Jimmy?
Well, the thing is that one of the things that was a shock to all of us when we started doing the research on it was just how big of a monetary driver the arts is in every community, just about every community across the country, whether you're talking theater or film or live music. I mean, it's jobs and jobs and jobs. And in New York City, obviously, because we have Broadway here and all these other things, let me blow your mind. Are you ready, Jimmy? So Broadway in 2018, 2019 brought in more money in direct ticket sales than all of the professional sports teams in the New York City area combined.
Wow.
And it also employed close to 100,000 people. I mean, that's huge. It's billions of dollars. It's close to $15 billion in a single year.
Wow. And also, I just need to jump in. Like, nationally, the arts bring in more money than the agriculture, than agriculture. I think it's sort of vastly undervalued on a national scale. Yes, it's obvious how important it is to New York City, but on a national scale, it's also enormous. Think about how many people go to a concert or to a show, and they'll go out for dinner beforehand, and then they'll go out for drinks after, or maybe they'll come into town for that concert and get a hotel room and stay overnight. I mean, it's a ripple effect, and I think people are going to realize before this is all over how important the arts are everywhere. I mean, it's really important for people to know that.
My favorite too is the naysayers, the ones who are like, ah, the arts aren't that important. They're not that important. And then they go and binge watch Netflix for the next 6 hours. Well, where do you think that came from? You know?
Wow. And that's great. And Chris, since let me go to Chris, because Chris is a, I'm going to call you a Broadway brat, Chris. I'm sure you don't like that, but so it's, you have a great story that you but it, tell us what the arts mean to you, because you grew up in it.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't really necessarily immersed in it. I obviously did go to a couple of Broadway shows at a younger age. I did a lot of traveling though. My parents, we traveled a lot, but, beyond that, arts for me, I'm a huge musician. I love all music. There's really nothing I don't like. I have a ton of musical instruments in my house for myself, for my daughter. So music to me is something that's, you know, obviously very important in my life. I was very fortunate, though, you know, growing up around what my mom was able to provide, you know, being able to take me to Broadway and explain to me, you know, all those different terms and whatnot, and getting to meet certain people at such a young age. It was very interesting, and it's something that I still find very interesting. I'm very gracious of my mom for that, for, you know, being able to provide that to me at such a young age. And I try to extend that with my daughter now with music. So whenever we get a chance, we, you know, obviously go watch, go to a concert, you know, obviously not this past year, but, we do try and get out to the Adirondack Theater Festival as much as possible, get to a local concert as much as possible. It's an everyday part of our lives. It really is.
Well, that's great. And Chris, let's talk about beer. We're going to run out of time.
Yeah.
Let's go back to beer. So tell me like the last two beers that you made or you're making now, and then like two other breweries that inspire you.
Yeah. So we are working on another Imperial Stout. It's kind of based off the Girl Scout cookie, the Samoa. And I think we're going to call it Scout's Honor. The name is not 100% yet, but that's something that we're working on at the moment. And I also have another sour that we're putting on that we've had on before, but I haven't made it in quite some time, called OPP. It's got orange, pineapple, and peach in it. And so, like I said, the sours for us, they're usually on and off. I put it on tap on Thursday, and it's probably gone by Saturday night. So they're very well received. We love drinking them. My wife loves them. So I just keep making them for her. And, you know, she's the one out in front selling them all. So, you know, we're lucky in that sense. But yeah, so a couple of breweries that really inspired me. I think at a younger age, Sierra Nevada opened my eyes to craft beer, you know, 20 some odd years ago. I think I had my first Celebration Ale that my brother bought me, and I was underage actually, but I drank it and I fell in love with it. And, it kind of, you know, it opened my eyes to craft beer at a very, very young age. And then, I guess most recently there's some breweries in Massachusetts that I really, really do love. Sometimes it's hard to get out there to them. Treehouse is one, Trillium be another. There's a couple in Vermont that are really, really great as well. And I'm just inspired by everything around me. So, you know, I try to put into my beer what I've gathered in my travels across this globe and, you know, try and infuse that into everything I do here.
That's great, man. And then so you were in Afghanistan. It's funny. I was just reading about a cider maker who's in like Kansas who had spent time in Afghanistan and Pakistan advising something to do with crops. When you're in Afghanistan, what was there a beer that you were craving? Or
I'll be honest with you, I was just craving. I was craving anything at that time. it was a rough one. It was the second time I was there. The first deployment I was in Afghanistan, I really didn't get a chance to think all that much because I was out working probably like 16, 18 hours a day, and that's like legitimate working. My second time around was a little different. It was a little. It's just a strange scenario that I was put in, but I ended up supporting some foreign forces, and sometimes we were busy, sometimes we weren't. And then I called my buddy, he was at another patrol base, and I said, hey, I want to make some booze. I don't even know if that's like I can, but I need to do it because I need to like do something. And he just basically, hey, grab your old protein container, grab some juice boxes and some Fleischmann's yeast, and I'll work you through it. And so that's what I did. And I made toilet wine, basically. And at one point, about 6 weeks later, I realized I had it. And we all got together before we went on a big op. And we had a few days of downtime. And I was like, well, maybe we should crack this thing open and see what it tastes like. And it was awful. It was like yeasty champagne. it was pretty gross, but you know, hey,
what did you call it? Toilet wine?
Yeah. It was like toilet wine. Yeah. Yep.
Pruno.
Yeah. So that's what got me hooked. And, alchemy has been in my life ever since.
You said you put in, you use yeast, but you said you use dried prunes. Is that what you use?
No, I use juice boxes. So they had like, I had a pallet of juice boxes, and I stole like, you know, 24 juice boxes. It was like some sort of fruit punch or something. Probably had a ton of, you know, obviously non-fermentable sugars in it. But, yeah, I found some Fleischmann's yeast on our shelf that the previous EOD team had. And I said, well, I guess here goes nothing. You know, I made an airlock for it with some tubing and stuck it in the corner in a nice, you know, cool area and let it sit for 6 weeks. And yeah, it was awful, but we.
Well, that's amazing. Just a friend of ours we know a woman, Mary Isaac, who made a book years ago about all the fast ferments that people did around the world. And this one should probably get added to it, but her recipes are actually come out good. So,
yeah.
Wow, man. I'm so glad to meet you, Chris. And again, this whole curtain up thing. You know, it's so cool to see it through the lens of Jimmy and Mark and the friends that they have out there. Jimmy or Mark, who's a brewer that we didn't get to meet who you would also recommend that we talk to one day about Curtain Up?
Well, it's I would love to have Shorts come by. Shorts in Michigan brewed it at their tap room. So they've been there and done that already. Six Point has said yes. So there's somebody, they haven't brewed theirs yet, but we're hoping that comes up soon. Prison City up in Auburn is thinking about it. And there's a brewery down in Florida that I love in Vero Beach called Walking Tree that has won a bunch of medals. And they're going to be brewing it later this year. So, Mark, who are you thinking about?
Bound by Fate is another upstate brewery, not too far from Slickfin, and yeah. His story is a lot of fun too. They're great folks, and then we got a bunch over in the Finger Lakes that are coming on board. Lucky Hair is a really really cool little brewery, and I'd love to get a chance to talk to them, and Larry out at Spider Bite, and yeah, they're folks all over the place. The folks at Departed Souls. We could keep you busy for quite a while if we wanted to get the interesting people on.
But we're going to check you out at Curtain Up Beer on Instagram. We got Slickfin Brewery was on. We had Union Craft Brewing out of Baltimore. And, of course, Dave Lopez, Gun Hill Brewing. You guys, thanks so much for joining me. A big shout-out to our producing intern, Caroline Fox, and our engineer, Armin Spingen. Big shout-out to Dave, Mark, and Jimmy. And John and Chris, thanks for joining us on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. Support Curtain Up Beer, right? At Curtain Up Beer. Woo! All right.
Beer Sessions Radio is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on